I know for a fact the White Sox front office are doing the best they can to put a good team together. A couple of trades last year. When they made those trades, we got very excited, including myself, like, wow, good move. When they made that trade, everybody in Chicago said, okay, let's bring the trophy. Let's go. Let's do it. But the thing don't work very good. Hernandez not do what we thought he was going to do. The cream ball was short. Go out there and do what he's supposed to do. You know, he's Kopech. He could have do what he's been doing. You know, this kid was a monster. He was hurt for a little while. But every time this kid take the mound, it was a special. Got a couple hiccups here and there, but I expect a lot of good things because a lot of people say, oh, look at the window. We have the window. We got TA. We got D. Moncada. We got Abreu. Well, you know what? It's a lot of better team than Chicago White Sox.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score. David Hall, Bruce Levine, here until 11 o'clock. And, yeah, we have missed that voice, haven't we, here in Chicago, a month without baseball. That was Ozzie Guillen, of course, earlier last month with Dan and Layla. And that brings us to the guest hotline sponsored by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And that's where we find good old Ozzie Guillen. Good morning, Ozzie. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you guys.
How are you enjoying this Chicago winter, Ozzie? Let's start there because typically this isn't where you spend your Januarys, correct?
Very, very, very. 1 second, guys. Let me take this off. Now you can hear me better?
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay. You know what? Very stupid, very crazy, because you're from Latin America and you can spend the winter somewhere out. But I love it. I'm next to my grandkids. In this moment of my time, it's just about and my kids, my grandkids, I love it 100%.
Okay, Az, we're having a little trouble with your phone, so whatever you're going to do there, I think we'll be able to fix it. Adam will handle it for you. But my question to you is, during this time, as a baseball fan, as a baseball analyst, as an accomplished all-star player and an accomplished World Series winning manager, how do you look at the lockout, and how do you look at both sides? Does it bother you as a fan of the game that both sides are not talking right now?
Yes, it bothers me a lot. I worry about it. There's so many things around because when I was a player, you had to do stuff you had to do. When he's a fan, you worry about it. You asking questions when you broadcasting or you are part of the media. You have some news. You don't. I think right now we are a little bit. To me, we're a little bit late about the conversations. I think we right now. I'm worried about because I don't hear anything about it. I don't think this is one thing you just go there and say, oh, you know what, tomorrow we're going to fix it. No, it's a lot of money, a lot of thought, a lot of think to be together. But you know what, be honest with you, the way baseball is right now, you can fix it in 2 minutes and you cannot fix it. You know, the baseball I grew up with, when we were to strike, a real good ones. A lot of money was involved. A lot of years it was involved. But in the meanwhile, with the money compared what it was, what it is right now, it's nothing at all. I expect and I love being in the spring training, everything be set up to go, but you never know.
Ozzie, before the work stoppage, the White Sox added to their bullpen. Kendall Graveman is a guy that will get a lot of work and play a very important role as a setup guy to Liam Hendricks. That's what we presume. the moment that baseball resumes again, the moment that the Sox can become active in either trades or free agency, how big of an offseason is this for a team that we feel like, okay, they're close, but we wonder how close are they to becoming a World Series champion caliber team?
Just be honest with you, seeing this ball club all year long, they can add anybody they want. Anybody. If the starting rotation, don't go more than 5 innings, and be prepared themselves for the stretch, I mean the playoff, and then this ball club, they can add anybody they want. Anybody. But then the starting rotation was very important. We was a little bit excited. And remember, last year, about around this time, maybe later that, the biggest punch the White Sox have was the starting rotation and the pitching staff.
Yeah.
And from September, the worst thing we have, it was the starting rotation. Our bullpen was fall down just because the starting rotation not left.
1 second, guys. Sorry.
The starting rotation wasn't the same ones we thought it was going to be. I think the starting rotation mean a lot in July, September, or you know, I don't know how can I say this. Or offense, it was great. Yes, because we were facing very, very bad division. And I was impressed at all about the Houston Astros pitching staff at all. But our pitching staff, it was very short. And I don't know, for some reason, I think we had the crowd there. I thought we had the people there to be what we had to be, and we never did.
Ozzie, do you bring back Carlos? If you're in Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams' seat and figuring out the rotation and knowing you need some more depth, do you do everything you can to bring out back Carlos Rodon, or do you have to be concerned about the fact that he could only pitch every seven or eight days at the end of the year, and he still, since 2017, hasn't really pitched close to a full season except for last year?
It's really hard for me because I love Carlos. I love what he brings to the table. But if you want to have a winning team, no, not at all. I never take the chance because last year it was something you was kind of like, okay, the window is open. We have something going on. And Carlos could help me late on the season. I don't think that's the guy that take me to the next level. And if you want to continue to compete, yes, he's the guy who will compete. You go out there, do the best. And I love that. I love that. I think every time Carlos go to the mound, he do what he's supposed to do. But if you want to have a championship team, I don't think that's the guy going to help you.
Ozzie, since we last talked to you, I think we've seen the Mets hire Buck Showalter. We know the Padres hire Bob Melvin. That was a coup for them. I sense that you were involved in the Padres situation. I don't know if the Mets ever showed some interest, but how have you viewed what's going on in Major League Baseball in terms of managers and teams going to guys with experience? And how close were you with San Diego if you indeed were that interested in that position?
Well, you know what, I'll be honest with you, that's the first time I've been interviewed, and I talked to like 20 people in a period of 2 days. I was very excited. I know the type of guy I'm going to say stuff, talk to people I don't know about it. I was very pleased. I was very close to be the guy. I think they hired the guy I thought they, you know, I mean, besides myself, I think when they have Bob Melvin as a manager, I said, you know what? I feel a little bit better. I just being honest with you, I said, like, I love to manage again. I love to manage the White Sox again, or Cubs. Put the Cubs are there. But I think I want to be in the city and a grown man and old. I got my grandkids. I love the city. I want to be around here. But besides that, I have a great job. I'm not bet on the game. I never did. I never say so. I never will be. And if I want to manage again, yes, I do. But in the meanwhile, I think what I have in my life, in my family, is being great. I'm very excited about San Diego giving me the opportunity to talk to them. But, you know, be honest with you, I'm great where I am, and I hope I can continue to do what I do. And, you know, right now I have a great life.
Ozzie Guillen, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. He's David. I'm Bruce. We're here with you talking baseball every Saturday morning from 9 to 11. And Ozzie, Eloy Jimenez came back, had a very good week coming back from that injury that kept him on the shelf for 3.5 months last year, and then totally, like, his game went away. First part of a two-part question for you. Number one, do you think he'll regain his skills? Because we know him to be one of the better hitters in the game from what we've seen before. And two, because of his injuries and because of the fact that the White Sox have a lot of offense, would you consider ever trading Eloy Jimenez for a top pitcher that you need in your rotation?
Oh, my God. That's a good question. I think he was another GM. I don't trade him. I don't know what I'm going to bring to my table. I think Eloy Jimenez is one of the best hitters in the game when he's healthy. He can produce a lot. But with the White Sox last couple of years, has been hurt. The most they need and they want to. I love Eloy a lot. But I don't think Eloy is the problem of the White Sox. Period. I don't think this is the problem. I think the problem is everybody can put it together. Everybody go there, but go to the right place. I think right now Tony had to step it up in the pedal and put the gas the best he can. Be the guy we think he should be and take the best out of those guys. I don't say it doesn't, but I think right now baseball got to go back to what it was. But you got Eloy Jimenez, Moncada, Abreu, Chie, together, put in the same role, in the same spot, that this ball club is ready to go. But they had to let them know we are ready to go. The window is not that open like people think it is. Happened to with the Cubs. I think this window is very small. Right now they have the talent. And I think right now this kid is one of the biggest piece of the puzzle that made this ball club to go.
Ozzie, you are now, as you point out, a member of the media in Chicago. We're proud to have you here. It definitely elevates, it's a lot of fun, elevates the conversation. You also have won a World Series as a manager. You played for 16 years. For guys like Bruce and I, who have Hall of Fame votes, for guys who are voting for this class, how would you advise them to consider the candidacies of guys like David Ortiz, Alex Rodriguez, Bonds, Clemens, Sosa? What is the guidance you would provide to us as we consider all those things of guys from the so-called steroid era?
Well, the steroid era was a big problem. There was like a very bad problem, the whole problem we wish that never happened. But I see people in the ballot. People create a lot of open goal. It's hard for me because I'm not into cheating. I'm not into question mark because I'm very, you know, I'm very, very, very honest, man. I think right now, you know what I mean, I see the people vote. They let names out, the ballot, names. Freeman Griff, Bobby Abreu. Those guys are cheating just because what they think about politics or the view about life, they don't have to be involved with that. I don't think so. Right now, I think Barry Bond should be there. I think Roy Clemens should be there because for some reason or another, the era of cheating, I will blame them and knowing Bruce Levine very well, and you know the way I feel about it. I'm very, very strong about the opinion about who's going to be a Hall of Fame.
Right.
There's so many people out there without names should be out. Should be out there. We talk about the people cheat, the people don't. But these people should be there. Should be there right now. The Hall of Fame, because I think they deserve, the numbers are there. But when we talk about Barry Bond, Clement, Sammy Sosa, it's kind of hard because sooner or later, they're going to be there. Why? I say that in July. Because a lot of players, from now on, they don't have the numbers, they don't have the status to be Hall of Famers. They don't. But the best Hall of Famers group, you talk about it, the best Hall of Famers group is the one we have from last year all the way into maybe five more years, because those guys put some numbers. The way they did it, I do care. Yes, I do care. The way they went through it to his job, yes, I do care. They did it the right way, yes, I do care. But look yourself in the mirror. Who is in, who is out? Mm. Then we talk about it. Because for some reason or another, in 10 years, five more years, Hall of Famers don't want to win 300 games, not going to hit 500 home runs, whatever numbers are going to be. No players in this era, they're going to make it happen. And then Hall of Fame is going to have problems. And we have to worry about that.
What about, Ozzie, what about A-Rod? I mean, here's a guy that came right out of high school at 19, and he began down.
No. I want to cut you down.
Yeah.
I think Alex Rodriguez is one of the best, smarter players in the game. Period. No doubt. But when you cross the line, you cross the line. And he's the best ambassador on the baseball game. One of the best guys we have of the field to promote baseball game. But it's Pete Rose. It's not there.
Right.
It's Barry Bond. It's not there. Fred McGriff is not there. Numbers-wise, guys. This guy, he should be Hall of Fame 20 years ago. But if we're going to go by the protocol, then how people should be, we're going to go by numbers. Alex, Barry, Roger, so many people should be there. There's no doubt about it. But I disagree with, because you know why? When you make one mistake, two mistakes. When you make one mistake, it's like I don't agree with it. People, you know, they learn from that. When you make two mistakes, when people know what's going on, and you deny it, and all of a sudden you're guilty. And that's one thing about me. But numbers-wise, yes, I don't think it should be out there. But if the rules, I doubt it. I hope it is. Latino is the guy do a lot of stuff for us, a lot of happiness. But if you talk about Hall of Fame, who they are and what they do, what they stand for, it will help for me to see him there. If I want to, yes, I do. Of course, he's Latino, but I don't think he should be.
Ozzie, thanks so much for your time this morning. Find a way to stay warm in this Chicago winter and have a great winter with your family.
Thank you. I'm going to stay away from Bruce Levine. It takes me every 2 minutes to be on the show.
All right. Thanks a lot. Ozzie Guillen.
Take care, Ozzie, my friend.
Here right, on
guys.
The Score.
Love you guys.
Thanks, Oz. Part of the Score family joins us regularly on Mully and Haw. And Bruce, we know Ozzie at NBC Sports Chicago, the analyst, keeps White Sox games very entertaining pre- and post-game. You want to continue to watch because you want to know what Ozzie thinks of what he just saw.
And I'm going to try my very best. And New Year's resolution, David, is to try not to text Ozzie every 2 minutes, as he said. you would be entertained by some of our texting. It'll obviously, some of it will never appear on airwaves or on television, but it's always entertaining for me. And we have a great relationship. So thanks to Ozzie for coming on and sharing some of his acumen today.
We could make that a segment, Bruce, if you'd like. Bruce's texts, we could do that if you would.
I think it would be more interesting if it was Ozzie's text.
That might be. But then we would need the dump button. And I'm not sure what we would get in trouble with the FCC. Okay, Bruce, it is the new year. There are resolutions. There are plans still. When? And I'm going to say when, not if. When baseball resumes, what would the White Sox and Cubs do the first moment they're able to acquire or trade for players? Who would be Chicago bound? That's our favorite segment. That's coming up next. Welcome inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Something that you all should know. Chicago is the greatest place I ever know. I'm gonna stay in this town. I'm gonna live in this town. I'm gonna live in Chicago, the greatest place around.
What new star players may be joining the Cubs and White Sox in 2022? David and Bruce explore the free agent and trade market as the offseason takes shape. Will it be Carlos Correa hitting long balls at Clark and Addison? You and the guys discuss possible offseason MLB moves and speculate who may be Chicago bound at 312-644-6767 on Inside the Clubhouse.
Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine and David Haw here until 11 o'clock, our favorite segment. Yeah, Chicago bound. Bruce, I know it's a lockout, and I know there's no activity, but the moment that changes, I thought it would be fun, and maybe we'll continue to do this, but in terms of possibilities if things break and we hear rumors and reports, but once the Cubs and Sox are open for business again, which players in the free agent market, or which players should they target via trade? Have one player per team a piece and offer this idea. I will start. We talked about the Cubs. We talked about Carlos Correa. We talked about the way that makes sense and what they can afford in your report about the 7-year deal. All very good stuff, but it's still all about pitching. If you're the Chicago Cubs and the name of the segment is Chicago Bound, I think he's already here. The Cubs mm-hmm. should call Carlos Rodon's representative, Scott Boras. Let's make a deal, Scott. Let's get Carlos Rodon in that rotation. You've added Stroman. You've got Miley added as well. You've got Hendricks. Let's plug Carlos Rodon into the Cubs rotation. Let's make a deal. That would be my first call.
All right, David. Carlos Rodon made $3.5 million last year. Okay, he was scheduled to make more than that, but the White Sox actually non-tendered the guy, let him become a free agent, re-signed him again to a $3.5 million deal for 1 year. Maybe one of the greatest bargains in baseball in 2021. Went 13-5, threw a no-hitter, had an ERA 2.37, was a dominant pitcher for 5 months before too many innings broke him down to being a part-time pitcher. What do you pay a Carlos Rodon? If you're Boros sitting out there with 30 teams looking for a guy only 29 years old that won 13 games last year, that was averaging 98 miles per hour on his fastball with a wipeout slider for 4 to 5 months of the season, what do you expect to pay for Carlos Rodon? I think it's one of the more bizarre markets to try to figure out as to what he's worth and for how long.
He's going to want 20 a year, right? He's going to want $20 million a year.
Right. I want to be 6'5 and blonde.
He's not going to get it. And you're not going to get there either. Sorry, Bruce.
Okay.
Breaking news. But no, that's not going to happen either. So I know he's going to ask for the moon. You can't deliver the moon, but you can give him a pretty good ride into space. Okay. You can make it worth his while. How about 3 years, $50 million? Is that realistic? Is that marketplace, is that good value for Carlos Rodon?
David, when you're sitting there and you're Jed Hoyer and you're Carter and you're sitting there and you're figuring it out and you're going to go to the owner and say, we want to give a $50 million deal to a guy who's been hurt almost every single year, actually has been hurt and not pitched an entire season every single year since 2015, what gives you the motivation to go to your owner and say, we need to give this guy a three-year deal?
Because your three-year window was reopened when you pursued and acquired and signed Marcus Stroman. You know, you can't unring that bell, Bruce. I think when you go out and you get Stroman, you suggest... And it's more than a suggestion. It's a commitment to trying to get back in contention. And by contention, I mean the playoffs next year. And I know that sounds crazy to a lot of people watching the Cubs and so disappointed and still stung by the dismantling. But if you go out and you get Marcus Stroman in the deal that they structured, and it was a very creative, smart deal, I think, aren't you saying that you're ready to get back into the mix? And if you are saying that, then a short-term deal for Carlos Rodon makes sense to propose to Tom Ricketts.
If you're sitting there and you have, look, I'm a big Carlos Rodon fan as a person and as a pitcher, but I have to look at the history of the situation. He threw 130 innings this year, and the last 20 or so of them weren't very good because of the fact that he had to basically pitch every 8 days for the last 3 weeks of the season. There was a big gap between the time he was able to pitch at the end of the season and pitch that last game of the playoffs where the White Sox lost. There are question marks always going to be there for a guy that has a 98-mile-an-hour fastball at its best, a wipeout slider, one of the top young pitchers in the game, still young at 29, but... You're really going to throw $60 million or $50 million his way? I would be comfortable with a contract by the Cubs that gave him a one-year guarantee with two options.
Okay.
Two options that are attainable simply by showing up. Okay. You make 25 starts. You make 27 starts. You don't have to have any numbers. Nothing. We just have to know that you're out there 27 times starting a game, and you're going to average 5 or 6 innings. You're going to give us 150 innings. Great. If not, the contract's not guaranteed. I think that you pay him a good amount of money up front. You're going from 3.5. You know, make it 15, 16 with incentives, other incentives that drive it to over 20 for 1 year. And then give them two options, you know, two option years.
Okay.
Maybe make the third year. Maybe make the third year able to walk out, you know, and opt out of his deal, mutual. I think you can be creative and get accomplished what you want, because I do not argue with you about the impact that Carlos can have on the Chicago Cubs and that pitching staff. I think it would be a good move, but a cautionary move, one that you have to protect yourself. And on the other side, the player has to get as much money as he can from the team, regardless of what the team is. And I think he's going to have a lot of creative, different options of many teams to go to. I don't know any teams that are so five deep in their rotation that they wouldn't want to take a flyer on Carlos Rodon.
Really good point, really creative structure to propose. Okay, Bruce, what about the White Sox? What would be the first call you make if you're Rick Hahn, if you're Kenny Williams, if you are able to now pursue a player that you think could help you get over the top?
Well, I have to get a second baseman from somewhere. I can't give you the name, but I need a second baseman, okay? And Craig Kimbrell is the guy that I have to use to get a second baseman. Now, can you trade Craig Kimbrell by spring training? Is he somebody that you have to start the season with making $16 million? Once spring training starts, David, we know for sure one thing, that pitchers get hurt during spring training. And if somebody does not have a lockdown closer, or somebody loses a lockdown closer to an injury, Kimbrel becomes one of the more interesting and important pitchers out there. And I think that's what the White Sox are counting on when they look at him as a trade chip. And they have not been shy about the fact that Craig Kimbrel is automatically a trade piece for them going forward. I don't think it's functional to think that Craig Kimbrel can pitch well as a setup man for you if you're the White Sox going into 2022. It just, okay, everything tells you it's wrong for the team and it's wrong for Kimbrel.
You're so practical, Bruce. I mean, I love that about you. You are very practical, and they do need a second baseman, and it makes a lot of sense because you have Kimbrel, and maybe a team like the Phillies with Segura there could be a trade partner. But I want them to, like, go into the next phase of free agency whenever we resume again to think, okay, let's aim bigger. Let's think higher. Let's think like Nick Castellanos. That type of a guy.
Yeah,
Nick Castellanos would be expensive. You have to get on the phone again with Scott Boras. I know there will be a marketplace, but he's a guy that you talk about charisma, you talk about popping the lineup, you talk about a need that exists in right field. Nick Castellanos helps you address many of your concerns, and a guy who would be really interesting to inject into that White Sox clubhouse.
That's a great name, and it's a good call, David. My problem with it is that you have two really good-looking young players in Sheets and Vaughn. And Vaughn showed a tremendous baseball ability to go and tackle a new position that he had never played in the outfield, moving from left, sometimes right field, and playing sufficiently. Not a gold glove outfielder, but a good outfielder. And a good baseball athlete, and a guy that hit for the first 3.5 months before some injuries started to take him down around July and August. He was on the track to be considered a rookie of the year by what he was doing offensively. And you have Sheets that gave them such a huge shot in the arm the end of the year with a big left-handed bat, doubles and home runs. Selflessly playing wherever they wanted him, DH, first base, outfield. I don't know if I'm thinking that Sheets and Vaughn are really your answer in right field. They might not be the greatest defensive players in the world, but then again, either is Castellanos. Castellanos is good, but not great. Has problems with range. Originally a third baseman. Adequate job, but I like your call because of the energy, because of the professionalism that Castellanos brings. We saw that for 2 months with the Chicago Cubs a few years ago when he was brought in, and mm-hmm. he was the highest energy guy on that team. He was a doubles machine. I think he hit over 50 doubles that year. Just a breath of fresh air on a team that needed some offensive pop and some energy, and he brought it. So I would never say no to Nick Castellanos on a team.
What do you guys think? 312-644-6767. What will the Cubs do? What will the White Sox do when they actually can resume doing business, Bruce? It's going to be a lot of fun to follow. There's no wrong answer. You've got two teams in different sort of timetables. The White Sox in more of a win-now mode. I just feel like I don't like any idea or solution that involves less of Andrew Vaughn. So I'm hesitant to go too far, but I still think Castellanos is such an impact guy that make that phone call.
I mean, is this the year that Abreu becomes a DH? Okay. Let's look at it that way. If he does, then you have an open position for Sheets and Vaughn at the very least in a platoon or part-time where maybe they're going to be more adequate. I don't know that. All I can tell you is that at some point, Abreu is still a very important and dominant player, is going, believe it or not, into his walk year as a Chicago White Sox once again.
He's Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw. We have another segment, Bruce. I want to tie up some loose ends. There's a question about some of the news that has been made off the field, if you will, away from the lockout, non-lockout news. Wrapping up, coming up next, Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine here for a final segment. Bruce, a couple things I wanted to get to that have happened. Curious about your opinion and input on Major League, the MLB Network, and Major League Baseball, which obviously controls a lot of the things that go on and are aired on the MLB Network, made a decision that was fairly controversial in the past week. Ken Rosenthal, the fine journalist from The Athletic, friend of the show, and obviously we both respect what Ken has done over the years, but no longer will be on the MLB Network, largely because he criticized Rob Manfred back a couple years ago, I think, now dating back to the pandemic. And I just wonder what you thought of that, Bruce, and if it will affect any of the messaging, which is so important during a lockout on the MLB side, because it just reinforces to me, my opinion here, just how thin-skinned this commissioner is and how much he doesn't quite understand or grasp the power of perception.
Yeah, I don't know if this is directly related to Ken's comments about the commissioner, but you'd have to assume it probably was. I mean, the idea that the commissioner, the commissioner's people, or the commissioner himself didn't like the idea, or the people that run MLB television didn't like the fact that Ken took on the commissioner. I think it really hurts MLB Network. Ken is one of the great writers and media people of the last, Ken's been around almost 30 years now, and his integrity is impeccable. His work is impeccable. He breaks more stories than just about anyone else in the game. David, it's kind of sad to watch this and to think that someone like this could be replaced just because of some comments that weren't complimentary to the commissioner.
It's a line that everybody has to walk. It's awkward at times, but I feel fortunate that, we are the Cubs' flagship station. I've never felt restricted in being objective to criticize Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer, Tom Ricketts, who owns the chairman and the family that owns the team. But I know that's a delicate line to walk and to balance for a lot of people, and I think I give Ken Rosenthal a lot of credit that you never have gotten the sense that he's going to be anything but fair and objective, despite the potential fallout from that. And I do wonder if this is part of that fallout.
Jumping over to the TV side, a new Sunday night baseball lineup of broadcasters. A-Rod has been the focal point of, kind of the Howard Cosell of his time. You, you love him, you hate him, but you always watch him. In this case, he's being shifted over to an alternative broadcast with Michael Kay, the Yankee broadcaster, on Sunday night. So ESPN will have two separate broadcasts.
K-Rod, they're calling it.
K-Rod, very nice. Nicely done. And the other broadcast would be Carl Ravitch, Eduardo Perez, and David Cohn. All great communicators, all popular guys. I think it'll have a lot of appeal. I'm not sure that people understand that ESPN is no longer broadcasting baseball during the week. They've cut back their schedule. They're not broadcasting Monday night games, no Wednesday night games. Their new deal with Major League Baseball is they get live streaming.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means that during SportsCenter updates and highlights on television, they can go straight to the ballpark and take something live, David. They don't have to wait till games end to get their highlights. They can put it on their app, those highlights, as the games are progressing. This is what they're paying their money for. But pay attention. Whether you like ESPN or you don't like ESPN, they have some really smart people over there that do tremendous research about what is being, what's the next layer of appeal to audiences. And in this case, they're betting on content other than games being what people want in baseball right now, and that's where they're putting their money.
I think we can have a broader and longer conversation about what that direction implies for baseball fans on a different show, Bruce, what they're doing in terms of the cut-ins and the getting away from the games. But as far as the K-Rod Manning cast copycat model, I'm going to take a pass. I'm going to take a pass. I just don't know why I would go out of my way. Sometimes I'll go out of my way to avoid hearing what he has to say when he's in the booth now. I have due respect for what he accomplished as a player. Not always there. Not always understanding the logic or the execution of him in the booth. So I'm going to take a hard pass on the K-Rod extra.
See, I'm going to be interested in it because it'll give him more time to gossip. And he is all about gossip. He's all about young people, talking about the game, talking smack about people. Okay. I think that there could be a very interesting, people aspect to this, non-baseball, where A-Rod just, completely rolls over on everybody and just from week to week just is must watch television because of how many people he's pissing off.
All right, Mr. TMZ, before we leave in the final moment, tell us about something I do want to read, and I think people should. You have something in Baseball Digest involving Paul Konerko?
Yeah, retro on Paul Konerko. My partner and I, Joel Barrick, do a piece every week in Baseball Digest, and it's the game I'll never forget, and obviously, White Sox fans, you will never forget the grand slam that Paul Konerko hit, and he talks a lot about that and the championship. So thanks for the plug, David. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. I write on our website at 670 The Score on both the White Sox and Cubs. Have a great week, and let's hope they get together and have some conversations this week, David.
Amen. Saturday Suckage, Mike Esposito in for Mark Grody with Steve Rosenblum is next. Also, in the NFL, Broncos, Chiefs, Cowboys, Eagles here at The Score starting at 3 o'clock today. Thank you for listening inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.